Good morning and welcome to Good to Grow. I'm Norma Martinez.
And I'm Denise Rodriguez.
Well, Denise, you showed me this really cool little Pinterest page. And I'm not on Pinterest. You are. And I know Pinterest is a major time suck. We've talked about this. But we were talking a few weeks ago about terrariums. And, you know, with Thanksgiving coming up next week, there is kind of a neat little craft that maybe people can do, like maybe as a hostess gift or something. You're invited to somebody's Thanksgiving, or maybe you are, you know, planning a Thanksgiving at home and you're trying to think of, well, what's a neat little centerpiece that I can use without going and blowing a whole lot of money. And
right,
sort of flashing back to the whole terrarium idea, there's something you can actually do in a regular mason jar.
Right, exactly. So for crafty people, which I am not, I just kind of like to look at plants and, you know, collect them and do the electronic hoarding on Pinterest. Everybody enjoys to look at pretty things, right? So why not be able to do that? But there is a craft. Mason jars are really popular on the crafting circuit. I just realized, I go, gosh, okay, how do we incorporate, you know, the craftiness inside of you? Because, you know, it kind of gets kind of quiet outside in the garden. You got your fall garden going. Things are slowing down. But, you know, green thumbs, you're still kind of looking to see what can we do to get our hands dirty and bring in the green indoors. So a gardener friend of mine, Art, brought in a whole bunch of cuttings from his Echeveria succulents. And those are those little nice little rosette spiraling succulents with the thick fleshy leaves.
And they're pretty small, right?
They can be really small. And the little babies that they give off are small. Mm-hmm. And they're really great to work with. And he brought a whole, you know, box with him. And I said, gosh, plant people could start taking them home. And I took a few of his gifts home. And I said, what am I going to do with that? And I was thinking about the show that we were taping about terrariums. And I figured, how can I incorporate the terrarium, the crafty side of me, and these plants that I have all together. So, of course, I found this online and I said, oh, well, we're going to try, you know, layering a little terrarium into a mason jar. So I started off with a plain river rock in the bottom of a mason jar for drainage, of course, mm-hmm. right? And then it also looks pretty because you want that decorative rock on the outside of the clear jar. And then I did skip the charcoal step, you know, the little activated charcoal for a true terrarium, but I did put some potting soil. And the potting soil that I chose was a moisture control blend. It doesn't have a lot of perlite or those little white foamy inserts to the potting soil. So I didn't choose that one. So it was a lot peat-based soil. And I wet that up before I put it into the mason jar because I tried it before and it just made a soggy mess. So I pre-moistened the potting soil and then I placed it into the mason jar itself. And then I put one of his little Echeveria little shoots or little pups that came out of that right in the middle of that. And I was able to kind of close the lid because I still left enough space and gap to be able to make like a little greenhouse effect. And it was kind of neat because I was able to, you know, take it, show it to my sister. But a really nice way to be able to bring in some green inside your house. And I thought if I was going to give this away, I would probably tie like a little ribbon or a little twine, a little natural color to be able to add to that and be able to give that as a hostess gift for, you know, our upcoming holiday. There's just some little ideas that you can kind of play around with as well. I have another way that you can be able to do that is just by bringing in low-growing containers that you have. A lot of times you're kind of clearing out your dish cabinet or your garage or going to a garage sale or something, and there's some really cute little odds and ends dishes that you can buy. You can certainly convert those into centerpiece dishes. That way there's no harm, no foul. You know, you ruined the dish or it's not, you know,
you were going to get rid of it anyway.
Yeah, exactly. If you want to drill some holes in the bottom of it, you know, just go ahead. But really it's to bring in those really natural elements and using maybe a few store-bought items that you obviously have to buy, but then incorporating that into your own backyard and do some nice cutting and trimming as well.
So well, that sounds like a nice idea.
It was my little experiment, and you know, I kind of have it like on my desk now, and I look at it, and it's not doing much right now. And I'm just kind of thinking, like, what happens when it starts to grow?
See, I'm thinking, I don't know if you know if they have mason jars of different sizes, but you know, hard? Is it hard to like get your hand in there? I keep thinking, like, you know, the ship in a bottle.
Yeah.
You know, you've got
right?
the tiny little hole, and you've got you know the big jar inside. Like, how did you? Was it difficult to get?
Well, I chose the fairly. I didn't use like the wide mouth mason jars because they all come in different sizes and mm-hmm. shapes and everything. But the echeveria that I picked was small for that reason, because I wanted it to grow out in that area. So I was able to put it in there. I did also use a little bit of some little plastic tongs from my kitchen. Not the metal ones, because I didn't want them to tear up the sides of the leaves, but the real plastic.
The little cheapy ones.
Yeah, the little cheapy ones in there to kind of like scooch down the potting soil as well, because once you put the succulent, is really hard to maneuver. But so try that. It doesn't have to be the trendy mason jars right now, but anything that you have around. I've seen so many neat things of, you know, even using like coffee carafes, you know, the little holders that you have.
Yeah.
Yeah. Using that as a terrarium. Like, there's so many things online and it's so interesting. And people also like a lot of like fairy gardens. So they'll put like little dolls or little trinkets inside
really?
A little mini garden. Yeah, no, it's true. It's a thing. It really is a thing.
Wow.
So it's really a nice way to be able to incorporate that into your, brighten up your gloomy days, or even give them away as gifts.
Just another way to show off your gardening
That's
skills.
Right.
You don't just plant vegetables. You don't just put a tree in the ground.
All year round.
Well, you know, we've seen some rain here in the region. And we know that usually when it rains and it gets a little cold, that maybe we could see a good poppy here this time around. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure, I know I have already seen this, and I've mentioned this before on the show. I've got bluebonnets at home and mm-hmm. we let them go to seed and they sort of end up popping up right around this time. They actually popped up a little prematurely because of the extra rain and the long period of warmer weather here in the region. So I'm guessing, would people already be seeing poppies starting to pop out of the ground? Because I know with my bluebonnets, they're already there sort of in their little infant stage, and that's where they're going to stay all winter. They're just going to hunker down, and then when it's springtime, they're going to fly out of the ground like crazy. But would you be able to see poppies coming out of the ground right about now?
At this time in November, probably not.
Okay.
But it's really important to be able to identify what it is that you're looking for. You know what to look for when you're looking for your bluebonnets mm-hmm. in your backyard, so you know they're not a weed. The poppies themselves are going to be able to almost look like teeny tiny carrots, really fair, tiny little leaves, very dainty like leaves. And if you don't know what you're looking for, then you may inadvertently think they're a weed or, you know, want to pull them out. But be patient with them and they will come out. A lot of times, in addition to the bluebonnets, we've seen a lot of penstemons.
Yeah.
They did the same thing again this mm-hmm. year. They're one of our early spring flowers, and then they'll reseed and they'll pop up in places that you didn't plan for them.
Yeah, they're all over my landscape right now. You can see they're tiny, teeny tiny growing out of my rock path.
Right.
And I got to clear those out.
Exactly.
So sorry, Mr. Penstemon, but you got to
go. You got to move them somewhere. Or, you know, it's all about the natural selection.
Yeah, that's right.
So those are really great little surprises that you're looking for. But really, a lot of these fall planted plants, such as your bluebonnets or, you know, even penstemon that you let go to seed, are also in line to delphinium or larkspur. And I really like the delphinium because in a way it really reminds me of my grandfather's garden when we were small, because these teeny tiny like little plants would come out, very delicate leaves, and then all of a sudden they shoot up these straight big spikes of purple, sometimes dark purple flowers. And they were just always so inviting, that they, you know, remind you of like nice times in your past. And I think a lot of gardeners that do that have that correlation or that history of gardening with their grandparents or their parents as well, and being in the yard. So those are one of my favorites. And if you have them in your garden, you know, you make sure that you let them go to seed every year, you know, they'll pop up in their places. And if you're just going to be a first time purchaser of these new seeds to your garden, then you want to go ahead and get them into the ground now.
So seeds for poppies and seed for these larkspurs, mm-hmm. it's okay to go ahead and plant them into the ground right now?
Yes, they need to be planted in the fall to be able to grow for us in the springtime. So there's a lot of different types of larkspur and delphinium that are out in the market, a lot of hybridized varieties that have been bred to have like huge, like large blooms, double blooms. If you allow those to go to seed, what happens is that the seed from those hybrids is not going to be exactly the same that you bought the original time. So there's a lot of cross-pollination going on. So it may not be that full double-flowered spike of flowers on there, maybe a single one, it may revert back to its original parent cross on there. So just kind of keep that in mind. But I kind of like to go like old school, you know, with that kind of stuff. And, you know, if you have a family member or a friend or even just random people that you want to knock on their door in the neighborhood and say, can I get some seed pods and share that? And more than likely, people are going to be very willing to share that with you. So hopefully, you know, we'll continue to have a moist winter season. And that's really going to ensure for us to have a great showy spring season, especially when we talk about the Franklins.
And the poppies. I mean, there's a specific type of poppy, right, that grows, because there are so many different types of poppies out there. But the specific one on the mountain, I believe it's the Mexican poppies.
Right.
And I've seen them actually growing here at the Chihuahuan Desert Gardens.
Yes, exactly. And again, they pop up where they want to.
Yeah. They weren't planned. They just
showed
up.
They weren't planned. So they just kind of show up. So it's kind of a nice welcome visitor. Poppies won't really make a great cut flower. I'd keep them all in the ground itself. But I mean, you know, even bluebonnets, you know, if you want to bring some of those in. Once they're fully open up, I would go ahead and do that. Little spikes, depending on which type of bluebonnet you have, going to have a longer or a shorter spike on that. But
well, another plant that you told me about before the show that I don't know if you specifically are, you know, doing this in your own garden, but there's something called the Texas Superstar.
Yeah, so the Texas Superstar is a series of plants that are given a certain designation that have gone through a lot of research trials all throughout parts of the state. And if they're shown to be extra performers as far as whether they're a showy, a long-lasting flower, you know.
So it applies to all these different types
these different types of characteristics. So believe it or not, what we call the Mexican bird of paradise, that's considered a Texas superstar. Yeah. So it's a kind of a way for you to as you're walking in the nurseries and seeing that signage on there, that's really what it means. They've been tested for that. And there's all different types of annuals and perennials and trees that have been designated as Texas superstar. I've always been interested in growing citrus. And one of our issues with that is that, you know, we're a little too cold here in the wintertime.
Yeah, you don't think about growing citrus in El Paso.
Yeah, you know, and the thing is they make great patio trees. And one of the best things that they had put out here was the Texas Superstar called Satsuma Orange Frost. And that's a mandarin cross of a citrus plant. Key about that one is that it's very cold hardy. So it's hardy up until 25 degrees Fahrenheit. So that's pretty good, especially for our area. So it went through its first summer and spring here in my backyard and as a patio plant. And we're going to overwinter and see how that's doing. But no matter whatever you grow in your containers, you want to make sure to always keep that soil moist. It kind of seems counterintuitive, even if the plant is growing or not. But keeping those roots hydrated and that soil moist is going to really help fend off those really cold temperatures and those extremes that you have.
Yeah, if there's a freeze coming around the corner, make sure that you have your plants watered well, because that's going to protect them.
Yes, exactly. So we'll kind of keep you up to date on that, and hopefully we'll see more and more of these citrus, because there is an interest for that. And like I said, it's never not one plant over another. It's always finding that right spot and that right location and that right cultivar of plants.
Well, we're out of time, but if you have any questions for the Master Gardeners, make sure you leave them a message at 771-2354. That's 771-2354. Or leave them an email. A link to the Master Gardeners is on the Good to Grow page at ktep.org. We want to thank you for listening today. We want to thank Evan Welsh for engineering today's show. I'm Norma Martinez.
And I'm Denise Rodriguez.
And remember, a gardener's shadow is the best way to keep your garden good to grow.